Okay. Our next speaker is Gustavo Lima with the topic bilateral perforation by peripheral corneal ulcer.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank the organization for the invitation to be speaking here back in McGill. Well, when I have a problem, like a personal problem, usually what I do, I have a family that doesn't live in my own city, but I call, hey mom, hey dad. So that something's going on, and could you help me? And the feeling that I have then when I come back here to Montreal, it's very close to that. When I come back here, I find out a sensation to remember from where I came from where I'm studying, from where the people that have the opportunity to live with and study, and most important of them, it's you, Dr. Bernier, and your family, and people that I will be always grateful. Okay. So, let's go to the case. A 86-year-old white male was referred with a peripheral area of perforation and white cataract already treated in another clinic with a conjunctival patch. This person was 86 years old. The family doesn't want any surgery, any anesthesia. He had emphysema and was an anesthetic right wrist patient. So that's okay, that's the left eye. The right eye was good at this point, no problem. From his medical history, we found out that he had mild systemic high blood pressure, severe emphysema, and absence of other rheumatic disease. Everything was fine until 3 weeks later, inferior peripheral thinning starts on the right eye. So 3 weeks later, 3 weeks before, I had a right eye that was normal. 3 weeks later, I had the left eye was calm, was the same thing, and the right eye had this almost 360 thinning. And what do we do? Looking closer, we see a lesion, a peripheral thinning with sharp edges, an area that was non-affected, and the presence of a cataract as well. To continue to the case, we start thinking what would be the main differential diagnosis. We thought about Murren's ulcer, and the difference between Murren's ulcer that we don't have a normal area between the thinning and the limbus. Peripheral corneal melt and rheumatoid arthritis, it's pretty much same thing, that we don't have a normal area here. And the thing that we thought would be closer to our case would be Terrien's marginal degeneration. We have in Terrien's marginal degeneration a thinning and a normal area between the limbus and the thinning. A typical feature is that usually the Terrien's marginal degeneration comes in waves. We have a thinning After that, we have a pseudoparesis, and our patient didn't have any of these findings. So, even we didn't know exactly what we have, we start thinking about the possible treatments. Patient didn't want to get surgery. The family didn't want to get surgery, and we start about thinking on the possible treatments. We start with topical steroids, topical cyclosporine. We didn't work, didn't do anything. The thinning continued, going on and on. So after that, we was forced to do something more invasive, and we did a peritomy, continued with the topical steroids and topical cyclosporine. Even it's a large thinning, we tried to do a glue patch, and subconjunctival triamcinolone too as well. Then the other treatments that would be possible would be like bigger surgeries, like a transplant, and the family was not up to authorize any kind of surgery, so that we were trying to manage the case less invasive that we could. This is a standard technique for glue patch. I just brought this because, you know, just to show the extension that the glue patch that we tried to do. As I say, try to do, you already know, and you assume that it didn't work, and it didn't work. So after we tried everything, peritomy, topical steroids, topical cyclosporine, glue patch, subconjunctivitis, and the patient end up going to perforation on the right eye as well. So then we had enough reasons to be more aggressive. He was 86 years old and was a sailor man. Didn't have much of a life, instead like watching TV and see their grandchild. And he said to me, I want to try, so we tried. And it was a very challenging surgery. I guess one of the most challenging surgeries that I've done, because extremely high vitreous pressure, and we had to remove the cataract as well. We have to do a transplant limbus to limbus, no trephanation, and it's a surgery that we don't have a recipe for that. So you basically don't use a trephine, you just cut the cornea and cut into pieces and suture the cornea. But fortunately, this patient was well. This is a 6 month follow-up. Last year he passed away at age 88, was seen 2050, happy with his vision, not happy with their other conditions, but until the day that he died, his family told me that every day he would remember my name, and when he prays, he would say, thank to Dr. Gustavo for being seen today. So these are the things that we don't have in our routine, but I think for me, these are the things that make me still do medicine with love. And, well, there's something else that I brought. In conclusion, I just would say that physiopathology of some corneal marginal keratitis is still unclear. And in this case, I still not sure of if Sterling's marginal degeneration, what's a variant of that. I don't know. Maybe if someone has any ideas. The treatment for this kind of case is usually challenging and depends on an adequate diagnosis. Well, this is where me, Paulo, and Anders are on the map of Brazil. We are here in Santa Catarina. This is the city that we try to work because it's kind of hard with this beach, but we usually have more time to enjoy that. But you see São Paulo here, Rio de Janeiro here. We have as well a Cristo, as big as, much more beautiful than in Rio de Janeiro, but we have a marina as well, it's a beautiful marina. Dr. Bournier likes it very much. As you can see in this picture here, what I learned from this picture is something that Dr. Bournier always told us and taught us. Even in when they're in vacation, he has the McGill shirt. So wherever you go, even if you're not, he's not on vacation here, he went to a meeting, but wherever you are representing your clinic and where did you train it and the people that you train it. That's something that he always told us, and we know that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, questions or comments for Dr. Lima? Doctor.
This question has pain in the eye.
No. No pain. Didn't have any pain.
And did you have a rheumatoid arthritis?
No. Doesn't have. I was, he was with a perforated eye and had no pain. And it started in the other eye. He had just mild discomfort, but no pain as well. And the eye looked calm. And I don't know. I never seen anything like that. But it was like very impressive was how fast that happened. Because in between 2 months, he had two perforated eyes. And when he had one eye perforated, the other eye was normal. Didn't have any thinning, any peripheral thinning or anything like that. So in 3 weeks, the whole 36 degrees thinning happened and perforated. But he had no pain.
Thank